Well, good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, December 19th, 2019. It is 9 a.m. We're gathered for the County Administration Workshop. We do have one item that's supposed to come before us that was not noticed on the 24-hour limitation. We declared an emergency a couple days ago. This is the follow-up information. It may take us a while to get there. Do you want to go first?
I'm here for the Dog Creek Road as well, so.
Okay.
It's probably best to take that one first. We can clear out some of the attendees.
Okay. So I don't have a title for it, but essentially this is the resolution for the emergency of the health and public safety that we declared on Tuesday, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Or whatever the legal forms are. So we're going to take that one first.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you were saying?
Well, I was suggesting...
Oh, the Dog Creek one first?
Yeah, I know the Dog Creek
okay,
one.
Okay, never mind. We'll do Dog Creek first.
In here.
Okay, so we'll start out of order. Sorry, JJ.
All right.
With Neil, come on up. Resolution number 2019-043 in the matter of granting vacation of a portion of Dog Creek Road, a public right-of-way, rescinds and replaces resolution number 2017-028. Good morning.
Morning.
Neil Burgess, your county engineer from across the river, so it's nice to come over the bridge sometimes. This really is just a paperwork drill. It doesn't really change anything from the decision back in 2017. The difference is we have one new commissioner and a new county engineer. And the premise is the same. We're vacating a portion of Dog Creek Road. We wanted a turnaround at each end. This is just changes the conditions, which the applicant has fire department approval for a lesser turnaround, and I'm okay with that. But then I also asked for dedication to build the turnaround to the fire code standards if in the future the public needed a turnaround to the greater standards in the future.
So in other words, you want to put in there just that language so that if the fire turnaround code changes?
No, he's going to build just a little small turnaround, but I want him to dedicate more right away so we could build a turnaround in the future.
Oh, so it's going to be a hammerhead now.
Yeah.
And then it could eventually be some sort of cul-de-sac.
Right.
You'd have the right away for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get that.
And then the original conditions were to build the full cul-de-sac. But then now that we have fire approval to do a lesser turnaround, we can do that.
That's why things stalled out, because the original conditions,
we required more, and happened. They didn't want to do more, so
They
worked with the fire department to get less.
That sums it up. And the county.
So the original conditions said you had to build it per the state fire code standards. The road authority, which is the Board of County Commissioners, can adopt a lesser standard, so we do have a lesser standard than the fire code, a lesser cul-de-sac radius. But then we also have approval from the local fire district to build the hammerhead.
Correction. That's not a fire district.
No, right.
That's rural metro.
Right.
So technically, we're the fire district.
Okay.
Technically. And it would be a question of, does a private for-profit company have the authority to make that decision for subscription service? If they do, that's okay. I know they pass off on building code stuff right now, and they work with our planning department, but it's not a fire district. It's to the state standard. So it's just a quirk of our system.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the county still has the authority to reduce the requirement.
Correct. Through our agreement.
There's an ORS that says that the authority can reduce the state fire, the road authority.
Okay. And you're satisfied with it as our engineer?
Yes, I'm satisfied.
That's the part that counts for us, right?
Okay. Sure.
That's right.
We it's might argue you. With you, but you're ours, you know?
Right. Yep.
Okay, so this just is, let's see.
And these guys are here just to make sure we're...
Yeah.
That there's a process for the vacation and all that, and certain steps.
Okay, so...
Sounds good.
We will, and he's agreed to do the right-of-way for what you need?
Yes.
Okay. Does this need to go back to the WVS? Yes. So we'll move it forward to...
It's a new resolution.
Next Thursday, the 26th.
This is going to replace the
Got
one.
It.
And the new one actually says that.
Yeah.
So can this go to consent calendar since there isn't a different decision? Because the premise is the same. Vacation with turnarounds on each end. It's just a different shape of the turnaround.
We have a new commissioner.
So do you want them to come and give a presentation, or could you just email what the difference is and we can read it? And
it's in the document.
Well, we do have a red line, that red line version of the other resolution.
But just a summary of the change.
I'm just wondering what we can do that would help staff if he needs to be somewhere else so we can take care of it.
I don't need to hear it again.
Okay.
No, and I don't think I do. It's pretty simple.
Okay.
Yeah.
So consent calendar?
Yeah, there we go.
Cool.
Everybody nodded a yes.
Good work.
Merry Christmas.
Yep.
All right. JJ, we're going to get you next real quick with HR, request for position addition and community development. And then we're going to get this other one that is fun. Oh, I see it. It was under 406 Redwood Highway in Cape Junction. My bad.
We put it on the agenda.
I didn't see it on the agenda as it wasn't triggering the right memory.
Yeah, it didn't go on, frankly, 24 hours in advance, but it's on the agenda.
Got it. Okay, so, good morning.
Hello.
What brings you to our neck of the woods?
Well, Community Development would like to add another multi-cert inspector to the department. It's funded by state grant, so it won't affect any general fund, and it will allow us to do some commercial inspections and also plumbing inspections, and also coordinate with the city to do some of the work that they need as well. You could explain kind of how that structure is going to look like.
Yeah, so we have we're looking at bringing like a commercial plumbing inspector, multi-certified, to not only do take care of some of our third-party expenses that we already pay for those services throughout the county, but also help the city in their process of plumbing inspections. So right now, and I also need another inspector. I have one now that is a fill-in, and it's just kind of a floating position there. So we just want to create this new position to bring someone on.
Like you say, it's grant funded. How long is the grant for? I don't want to hire a bunch of...
This is through building safety, the budget of building safety, which is...
Right, but JJ just said this is all the position grant funded. So how long is the grant for? In other words, is it a grant you have to apply for every year to keep that position alive?
No, or, this position isn't a grant.
Okay.
I meant to say state fees, not state grant.
State funding is paid for it. Okay.
Yeah, the building safety budget, you know.
I get goosey when people say that it's a grant and we're going to hire somebody, then you apply for the grant and Multnomah County gets it and we don't, and you got to go tell the guy goodbye. I don't like that.
Right. No, this is all under the building safety budget. Through the building
budget. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
The building safety division within community development has been self-funded for, I don't know how many, lots of years. The fees associated with building codes pay for positions.
Okay, so it's not a grant, so therefore there's no local match requirement?
Yeah, no.
Okay,
no.
But it's fees, state fees, not state grant. Is it correct? County fees or state fees?
No, this is, so the building department budget, everything that we earn in the building department stays in the building department. And so we're self-funded. We have reserves.
So we assess the fees, but they're set by state.
We have reserves that we build up for the times when the economy drops, and you know how building industry is.
Yeah.
So under state law, we're required every dollar we take into the building safety department has to stay in the building safety department. So we create these reserves. So right now we're doing very well for where we're at. So.
In your presentation, you said this was going to help the city with their inspections. Well, do you backcharge them?
We will.
When you're doing something for the city, do you backcharge them?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we have an intergovernmental agreement, and it's either, either we go by hour or we go by inspection.
Okay.
You know, if they need help, we help them, and vice versa.
Okay.
Sounds really good. Should increase customer service.
Well, currently, there's a need that he uses by contracting the service out, and it's significantly more expensive to do that. And if it's a short amount of work, it's better to spend the larger hourly rate because you don't need a full-time person, but the need is there that we can sustain a full-time person, and it's
right.
far more cost-effective to do that than to contract it out. I think, what do they charge, $75 an hour or something like that?
They're $89 an hour. We paid, I believe, about $112,000 for third party last year. This position will take off that, I'm estimating around $43,000 less that will be going to the third party. I'm trying to eliminate third party completely.
Well, as long as it makes sense, should do it.
All right. Does the board have a desire to move this forward?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very well.
Thank you.
Very good. Have a good day.
Any other business that needs to come before the board?
Come back for the commissioner party.
Thank you. Otherwise, we're going to move on to board business. We have resolution 2019-042 in the matter of reappointments to the Josephine County Fair Board.
We will get Mark back, right?
I think hope he's coming back.
Yeah. He's
Mark.
Talking.
He can see, didn't he?
Yeah, he's coming.
Okay.
Okay.
You need me? Or?
We will.
We will. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Do we have... Oh, there we go. Sorry, it was the last page.
Lonnie Johnson, Patty Kirkman, and Linda Bradley, all of them are at large.
Oh, the Fair Board appointments.
Fair Board appointments. Is that where you're at right now? That's what you said, Joe.
3A.
42.
Yep. Okay. Any questions, comments?
Nope. I did call all three and make sure that they were really wanting to be back, and all three of them excited about serving again. So they're all very high energy people on the board. So
do we go out to the public at all, or are we just reappointing them?
Well, these are just reappointed. Yeah, but the positions I think go out to the public. We have still have one open for Dan Shepherd, I think.
Oh, okay.
That isn't the field, but these are reappointments.
Are there term limits?
Beg your pardon?
Are there term limits?
I don't know that, because two of them are third term. This will be their third term.
So it doesn't sound like
the bylaws.
Well, all right, that's the only thing I'd want to verify is if that we're just in compliance with the bylaws or whatever the rules are. But, I mean, we have an exceptional fair board, so just for the crossing the T's and dotting the I's kind of. We can come back to that. Actually, I'm going to pause. Because our
person left?
Main keys. Yes, I want to give her a chance to be a part. So we'll set up for the Junction Inn if you guys want to come up that needs to be. I just want to start by saying thank you, Mark and Mike, Sarah, the three of you and your department's legal. And the amount of work, Darren, you going out with them, 24 hours, the amount that you guys have gotten done is just awesome. So I know I have a tendency to have high expectations, and I like when they're met, but you exceeded my expectations, and I just really appreciate that. It's something that will be really fun to brag about, all of your work and how you've come together in this way and doing this right. I can't tell you how many people from the Valley have said thank you in the last 2 days about you guys' work and what was going on. And so I just want to start with acknowledging you guys and saying thank you. Okay, where are we at this morning?
First of all, we need to address the fact that this was not put on the agenda 24 hours in advance, and that is due to the emergency situation so far as not knowing that we would need to meet again or exactly. Everything is happening so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We did realize that we did need to meet, and so here we are. And my understanding is that notice was sent out to the media. Of the additional agenda item.
Okay.
We do have a resolution to sign declaring a health and safety emergency at 406 Redwood Highway. And this, the resolution authorizes the building official and the public health director to take all necessary steps to coordinate response to the health and safety emergency, including requesting assistance from state and local agencies. And we also, the resolution also resolves that the county take all necessary steps to enforce state health and safety laws and administrative laws, including those pertaining to tourist accommodations, building safety, and fire safety. And this will be the basis for civil injunctive relief to address the situation.
Do you have copies of that resolution?
I, one technical is I believe the address is South,
yeah.
Or 6 South Cape, or South Redwood Highway.
Okay.
I don't know who's at North, but it'd be fun to show up and just say hi.
And then it'd be also, everything's been changing by the hour. It'd be nice to have an update as to what's happening right now.
Okay, so would you like to address, first, these two went out yesterday morning and were able to work with the restaurant.
Yes.
You want to give a quick update of that and then we'll go to the afternoon meeting?
Yeah, so I met with the manager of the restaurant. Also in that meeting, we determined that we can separate the structures. We do not have to have Pacific Power pull the power on the whole complex. We have a secondary panel system within the motel itself that we can actually isolate and shut the breakers off. So I reached down also to facilities, and they're willing to put locks on the doors and such for us to secure this room so we can do that. On the restaurant side, he did have multiple electrical violations. None of them are necessarily considered a life safety issue. No one's sleeping there. There is some issues there, and they have already hired a licensed electrical contractor here in the Valley to come in and do the work. And I have walked through it with that electrical contractor so they know exactly what direction they need to head. And they will be starting that just after the first of the year. So the restaurant manager, owners, and the contractor are all on board to take care of the issues that they have in there right now. But nothing in there currently would I consider a immediate hazard to life and safety, though there are serious electrical issues in there. So we can maintain that. They have separate service panels, separate feeder, so they can stay up and running during this time that we shut the power down on the main hotel complex.
So I know electrical started it, but there was also environmental health and fire department concerns for both buildings or both portions. I have the fire department and environmental health and public health signed off on the restaurant staying open?
Yes, so the fire marshal actually did the walkthrough with myself and Commissioner Fowler yesterday. And there's a few fire safety issues that are being addressed now also.
And the environmental health inspection of the restaurant has already been conducted at a different time. And findings, of course, as there often are, but nothing that warrants taking action against them. And most importantly, the owner's been working very closely with us to ensure that they get resolved.
Do we need to address anything in our resolution that, because the restaurant also has the same address, do we need to address anything to separate it out?
I believe the resolution only addresses the traveler's accommodations and not the restaurant.
Okay.
It lists the address, but I don't think it's specific.
But we
to
do
the
also
address.
Name the business.
Yeah, the Junction Inn separately.
I have a question.
Yeah.
There's a distinct line drawn in the sand whether you're a traveler and tourist versus a tenant. And in like in RV parks and stuff, if you're there more than 14 days, you're no longer a transient and a short-term stay. You're not a tourist. You're not traveling through. You just became a tenant.
Yes.
And this all of our, to travelers, accommodation, tourist facility, so that hotel has not been used for, gee, I'm staying overnight on my way to the coast. Those were actual people that have been living in there for quite some time.
Not everybody.
But there are people in there that are living there, not just for a couple of days.
Of the 24 people that were in that facility, 22 are
tenants.
Tenants, yes.
So that's what I was wondering. Doesn't say anything about the violation along that line and how that's going to be determined. I fully agree. I'm glad you two went out and that you've been working really hard on it, because I was looking at the difference between the hotel or the motel and the restaurant. Is that in the event of fire, you're probably going to get out of that restaurant pretty darn quick in comparison to a hallway in a hotel that you're not going to get out of.
Yes.
I think the fire thing is probably paramount.
There's a lot of things happening in parallel right now. So the environmental health piece is what my staff does, and that's what kind of kicked this off. They saw some violations. They asked the fire marshal to come out and walk with them. So we have the 5-page fire marshal report, which addresses a number of life safety issues. And then we have violations from a licensing perspective as a hotel. They have very clearly violated their hotel license requirements. We're going to be pulling their license, which prevents them from operating. But that's kind of secondary when we're shutting the building down. They can't function as a hotel when they don't have a building anyway. So a lot of that's sort of a self-correcting problem.
The tenancy would be the third in line, but first comes the fire safety,
yes,
shutting down, then comes the environmental health violations for the tourist facilities, then would come any tenancy problems and using the hotel as an apartment building without a permit from the planning department, changing the use of the building and so forth. But that, we don't even need to address that, because that's we're effectively
dealing with both at once.
And
our authority is really limited to pulling their license. The tenant issue really becomes a private issue.
My next question is, yeah, we can tell them, oh, we're pulling your license. And the guy goes, so what? I've been in violation so long, I don't care what you pull. I don't care if you go board it up, because I'm gonna tear the boards down and I'm going to let my people in. That's the way it is. I mean, we've seen that on a lot of houses.
That's why the electrical's pulled.
Yeah, the electrical's pulled.
Even at that, though, we've had houses out here, you know, on Twilight, for instance. People lived in there. We pulled the thing. We plowed up the driveway. We did everything in the world to keep the people out.
Yeah.
And they're still in there.
Yeah.
And they're not anymore.
All they have to do is run an extension cord from the restaurant.
We'll be addressing that with the courts.
Okay.
Yep. And so, we'll be doing inspections almost daily afterwards to make sure this is not happening.
Pardon me. The fire marshal is just down the block, and he has eyes on it constantly.
But I just don't know where our teeth is.
So,
you know, commissioner says, we're going to be out there, and, we're going to be here, and, we're going to be there. But I have not seen that. You know, people are going to do what they're going to do. And they don't care about Leah.
Well, and there's some...
They don't care what Leah says.
The people, the occupants, do care. They've been contacted. Mm-hmm. They're understanding that they can't stay. And public health met with them yesterday with UCAN, which is United Community Action Network. They are the primary source of housing assistance in our community. And they met out there with public health at 4 o'clock yesterday. And you can...
Yeah, so we went out, we met with the residents. Only, excuse me, 5 of the units are saying they need any type of assistance. I did not realize how much people were paying.
Still being charged that nightly rate. They might have just been paying a month at a time, but it's exorbitant.
$1,100 to $1,500 a month. So it's not that these folks didn't have resources, it's that there isn't any other housing available. So
that's what I'm saying. They're staying there in adverse conditions for a reason. So you put them out and say, yep, we're okay with them leaving, but there's no place for them to go.
And that's
so then when they go out there and they're all good while you're in the room, and they we're going to go. And then they actually step outside and find out there is no place for them to go.
But we have also been working with that. So from the day that we made the decision, I immediately called the owner of the hotel down the street, Holiday Motel, who said, yes, we'll help. and got a hold of, gave me the number for the manager, who said, I have these amount of rooms, we'll give a discount at this rate. And from there, other suggestions of other locations were also given. Sarah's staff was calling around the clock trying to see what other accommodations were in. Darren went to the Chamber of Commerce meeting, got a whole bunch of other lists, reached out to Jimmy Evans, who runs the Cave Junction Patrol, and he's also heading up with Laura Mancuso, the Homeless Alliance. All of them have been reached out to. The Lions Club was being reached out to. The Rotary offered to help. I've also talked to Carl Wilson's office, as well as you guys.
DHS out there, Family Coalition out there.
All of them have been notified. And so what happened yesterday is, all right, we got the list. We know there's room for them to go to at a discounted rate from what they're even currently paying. UCAN said, we're now going to take point, and we're going to help them find other shelter. And so that's what happened yesterday at 4. So they've been passed off to a service organization that's going to help them find shelter.
Yeah.
And also, one of the invitations we got here in the office was, I don't remember what it was exactly. It was Equal Justice something. What's that?
Campaign for Equal Justice.
Campaign for Equal Justice. I got an invitation to attend a luncheon in Medford. I get to the luncheon, and Rochelle Selvig from Cobble Cobble and Selvig is a table host, and the other one is the guy from Oregon Law Center, which is the legal aid for help for people with indigent needs. And so it dawned on me, I learned there that their primary thing is helping people with housing and other situations, and that's what they do. And so in concern for the tenants, I tried to reach out to Oregon Law Center. They have very restricted hours. So I called Rochelle Selvig, who invited me to the thing, and I said, do you know how to get a hold of them other than their one public number? And she said, I'll reach out, and I'll find out what options. So she called me back and said, they don't have, at the holiday time, the capacity to help at this time. But our office does, and we're willing to step up and help. Can you just give them cards? And if they need assistance, they can call us. And so some cards were taken out there, and so they were given the opportunity that if they want to seek legal help for their rights as tenants, they have that separate than us. But that's something that is covered in Oregon law for indigent kind of situations that would cover them. And so they've been given legal resource, they've been given housing resource, and there's Jean Ann Miles was going to follow up this morning from the city of Cave Junction to get sizes and ages of the kids. Because some of the service organizations want to even help with Christmas. So the community's trying to come along. And I heard last night that one of the staff even called hotels here in town, and I appreciate kind of, but I already had other people on it, so I'm like, wait, let's see what we can do in the valley where they're already residing before we try to displace them into town. And so lots of options. I should also mention Sarah Garceau offered yurts at Lake Selmac, that $50 there. So at least five county departments were involved in trying to find solutions. And I believe that they've been given the appropriate resources that if taking action, they're not going to be on the streets at Christmas. They're going to be able to be in shelter and have been given the resources of what to do next. And potentially with the UCAN connection, something towards permanent housing may be an option down the road, because UCAN's not going to just drop them after a week. They're going to keep working with these folks.
This morning, actually, each one of the residents are meeting with a counselor to talk about options in the community. And I do want to make it very clear, because I know within the community there's been a lot of frustration expressed about this facility. People should understand the staff at that at Junction Inn have been incredibly helpful. They've been working with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just want to make sure there's no blowback there. I mean, they have to recognize that they're working their way out of a job, but it's not stopping them. They're very concerned about the residents. One of them even offered to let some folks move in with her into her trailer, like there.
Oh, golly.
Because she was so worried about, you know, a little one that didn't have a place to go. So that they should be recognized for that. And the owner is really the limiting factor here.
Well, and part of that for me, as I left the premises yesterday, was that we got help agencies coming to look to help those people that were living there, but is there anyone, I'm sure in the community, would like to help that young lady who was only been a couple of months manager there. She's going to lose her job.
Right.
You know, we and can so get if that someone in the community, too.
Yeah, we need to get that word
I have
out.
Her, I have her name and all
that. Because maybe somebody in the community has a need for an employee.
And she didn't ask for that, but I know, it's something that's pretty obvious walking into that place.
Yeah.
Well, and we got another draft of the press release last night, and I realized that by the end of the day, it's outdated already. And so Sarah's going to help this morning. We're going to redo that to kind of give an update this morning. But, in talking to the newspaper folks, they want updates, and it's like, I'm sorry, we focused on the people, and and that's what our priority had to be. So as far as this goes, because it is an emergency, I'm going to be asking that we take action today, and you guys are going to be going to court today?
Today or tomorrow, we will be filing something with the court.
Okay.
I want to talk about signage on that. Mm-hmm. Those doors were going to lock so that it says you're breaking the law. If you break this lock, this has been closed by the county, whatever language that needs. We need to have that signage up. I'm encouraged by the idea of the Ivy Fire doing some drive-bys and making sure people aren't running generators or some other unsuitable situation. And then time frame for shutting the power down, do we know that?
It's going to really be up to these folks in there. You know, we don't want to, at this time, turn that power off until they are out.
Right.
I don't want to create a more dangerous situation with candles.
But we're not going to wait weeks.
No.
Right.
No, I mean,
it's going to be days.
We're ready.
I told the staff and the residents last night that it would likely be this week. They're preparing for that. I said it may be as late as early next week, but to expect as early as...
I think that's fair. Okay. And then I want to give some of the shout-outs as well, that local law firm that stepped up and said we'd represent. I gave those cards out there. The Ivy Chamber, when they heard about it on Facebook and I walked in the room, they were all, what the heck is going on? And they said, well, some of them were, it's about time that building's been an eyesore in our community. But they also jumped immediately to how many people need help. Here's the different people that can help in our community. What can I do is what they were saying, each member. And I got a full list that I ended up emailing out to our chair so that she could get it to the right folks of help. And so I'd love to see the community rally like that. Also want to shout out, I think it was Cameron at Ivy Fire that put together that report. That was incredibly professional, accurate, and timely. I don't know if he stayed up all night or just went, started early in the morning. But he was a hero, and he's trying to do what's best for his community. So I think he really stepped up. Ivy Fire did as well. And so this was a situation that there was a lot of hand-wringing in the executive session about what do we do about this. And I think it's been handled really professionally from our side. So thank you guys. Thank you, Lily. And those other folks I mentioned, I think, did a great job rallying. So we just got to finish this off and get those people placed somewhere so that this thing can move on.
I just like the way the community, 4 or 5 years ago, they wouldn't have cared. But that community spirit out there keeps building and building and building. And it's never been put to the test until now.
Yep.
And that's good. Good to hear.
Yeah, they really bounced.
I don't know whether the folks, you know, when the cops are all over the place, everybody's, I'm all on board. But then as soon as everybody drives away, let's hope that we continue to keep the pressure on. And when we say we're going to pull the meter on Monday, we're going to pull the meter on Monday. And if there's five people still left in there, guess what? You had fair warning. We have to follow through and not just citation after citation after citation because it doesn't mean anything.
I want to be clear. It is more than just an electrical safety issue. There is other life safety issues.
Yeah, yeah. And they understand because it sounds like y'all have gotten everybody together and you know what the situation is and they're all on board. Yep, we're ready to pack up our stuff. We had the kids loading the suitcase this morning. But then you turn your back on and they go, business as usual, $100 a day.
And this isn't just that, oh gosh, that's not to current code. No, this is actually can cause death and
fire.
that they would, I mean, there's such life safety issues that could not be ignored, that one thing fixed would not fix the next one and the next one and the next one. And our hope would be that the owner steps up and says, let's get this fixed, let me keep going. However, we can't wait for the safety of these people for the owner to act because he's failed to do so.
I look at that situation, I've looked at that situation out there for years, is very similar to the situation we had on the north end of our town for years. Mm-hmm. It's almost, they're almost bookend of each other. And until something really happens, you know, in a situation like this, then change comes. So I think the paper said that some of the developers are thinking about, hey, blade it and I'll build a new motel there. You know, that, you know, something along that line. So, you know, this may be what triggers a real plus for the valley out there. In fact, I think it will. I don't see any other way around it. But still in keeping with the restaurant that's trying real hard and provides a service to those folks out there. Sounds like the restaurant's very popular.
I wanted to ask an additional question. I don't know if you got eyes on the swimming pool that's abandoned behind there. There is a fence around it with a lock on it. But I wanted to ensure that was safe in our, if we're going to take over some sort of a condemnation on this.
You want the control, you have the responsibility.
Right. Then I just don't want to make sure that's not a liability to the county, so that might need to be addressed somewhere along the way.
We'll make sure to go out and put a specific eye on that.
Okay.
Any other questions about today or any other? The only thing I would that we'll amend the address to be 406 South Redwood Highway in all reference.
And I just want to say that I'll reach out to facilities and Ryan specifically and see how quickly we can get out and put some ASP locks, secure that area, and then we'll look for a time to shut the power down, lock her up.
Right, coordinate that with the relocation of the tenants.
Right.
Right, mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So I'd entertain a motion in the matter of declaring in the declaration of health and safety emergency at 406 South Redwood Highway in Cave Junction.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 3-0.
Very good. Nice work, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.
You want one?
It just needs an S.
It just has to change the sound.
We're done. Right, we're adjourned.
No. Did you say adjourned?
No. Is there any matters for commissioners?
Right. One last thing. No.
No.
Okay. Then with that, I am going to adjourn at 9:38.